probably more than we can count. Maybe they have these preconceived notions or this idea of what it's going to be like, and maybe once they get there and they begin to experience perhaps some of the obedience that's required or the commands that are giving or even things that have to be given up, many times when that's the case, they choose to simply stop following Jesus. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe that's not what they want to do or whatever the case might be, but I think we can see that throughout the Bible as well. You look at Matthew chapter 19, and we also see the account given in Mark chapter 10 of the rich young ruler. And there's a lot of lessons that can be gleaned from this, but tonight as we continue in our His Word devotional, and you're going to be covering Matthew chapters 16 through 20 this week, I want to look at Matthew chapter 19. And I want us to look at the rich young ruler in relation to some of the things perhaps he thought he was going to gain from following Christ, but really what he left and what he gave up because he chose not to follow Christ. Because with that, Christ was simply straightforward with him and required certain things of him. But once those requirements were made and obedience was given, that's not what he wanted to do. So you look at Mark chapter 16, and I think it's not unusual for individuals to come to Jesus during this time as we open up and look at Matthew chapter 19. Because what you begin to see is people were beginning to know who Christ was. They were beginning to follow Him. They were listening to His message. He had already given the Sermon on the Mount. People understood the great thing that Jesus was going to bring to them. So there were thousands of individuals that were basically giving themselves to Him. So here comes this rich young man with this desire because he sees everybody else wanting to follow him. So he has this desire himself, as we're going to notice here in Matthew chapter 19, to follow Jesus. And I think one of the things you notice is that he came with a desire, but he left in despair. If you see in Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, it says that he came running to Jesus. Literally, he was so enthusiastic about the whole idea of meeting Jesus and being in his presence that it said he came running to Jesus. And sometimes people do that today too. Once they see what Jesus perhaps can offer, or at least the idea of what he's going to offer, they will come running. And many times throw themselves at Christ or the idea of what Christianity is. And many come to Jesus with this idea of great enthusiasm and great zeal. But what happens many times is as soon as the requirements are given and what they have to give up in relation to following Christ, then people do just like the rich young ruler did, and they don't want to do what Jesus says he must do. A lot of times people come to Jesus in times of crisis, and that's understandable. Many times people will come to Jesus after the loss of a loved one because they begin to realize their own mortality. They begin to realize how certain death can be, so they begin to think about those things that happen. And many times I've seen individuals come to Christ after losing a loved one, and I'm glad they're there, but generally after the newness of the grief begins to wear off, or perhaps life gets in the way, or family members begin to deter them or pull them away, many times they begin to think it's not as important as it once was. And sometimes you have individuals after the loss of a loved one fully throw themselves into what it means to be a Christian. But I think many times the case is that individuals coming to Christ have this need, have this desire, have something that Jesus is needing to give them. And once that need is met to a temporary, perhaps extension, they say, I don't need it anymore. Just as the rich young ruler did here, looking at Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16, it says, Now behold, one came and said to him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Notice he says in relation that he's asking something that he must do to receive it. So Jesus is going to tell him something good that he needs to do in the next verse. So he said to him, First, why do you call me good? Because no one is good but the one that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, Which ones? Jesus said, You shall not murder, commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things have I kept since my youth, since I was a young person. So what are these things am I lacking then? And Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So Jesus said, here's the requirement if you want to follow me. So he came with this great desire. He had this zeal. He wanted to follow Christ, but he left in despair when Jesus said, of the things that you must give up. And he said, you know what? I've got too many possessions that I want that I'm not willing to give up. And he said, not going to happen. And many times that is the case. Some people in many years of service to Christ, following him, do all of the things required until something brings that hiccup or that stumbling block in their life that perhaps they're going to have to give up fully or completely. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's smoking. Maybe it's some other thing in life that's keeping you from fully following Christ, but something they don't want to give up completely. So you see, in this individual, this case, he was sad at this saying, it says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 22. We have another account in 2 Kings chapter 5 looking at Naaman. Naaman was given a requirement for him to receive and to be healed from leprosy. And what did Naaman do? Why is it that I've got to dip myself in this dirty river? Why aren't these other rivers better? Why hasn't Elisha come out and done all of these great and wonderful things for me? And what does his servant say? If he would have done the simplest of things and asked you to do this, you would have followed them. Why is this such a big deal to you? You see, he had a requirement of what he was expecting to be relieved of his leprosy, what he wanted, right? It was the selfish desire that he had. And you see the same idea given in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. God says, my ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. God said, I'm not doing things according to the way you want them done. You do them according to the way I need you to do them, because there's a requirement here. So we see the rich young ruler came with this great desire, but he left in despair. Sadly, there's a lot of people that will go away after hearing these sayings. Once that requirement is given, how many people do we know and the world stops short of what's required for salvation? Well, they say you can say this prayer or feel this in your heart or do these things. We don't have an account given in the Bible for that. And then we see this idea of baptism. And the world makes it so difficult and so hard, but they would do all of these great, wonderful things. They'll travel to the ends of the earth to receive salvation. And God says, all you got to do is have your sins washed away. Why is this so hard for you to understand? But it's because what they want or what they think they need at that time. So not only did he come with this great desire and leave in despair, but he also came in sincerity and he left in sorrow. In verse 20 of Matthew 19, he said, all of these things have I done since my youth. There's a lot of people that come to Jesus with this great sincerity, this tremendous zeal. But as Paul said, many come to Jesus, but they don't do it according to knowledge. Right? We see the same thing given in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus said all of these individuals were coming to him, saying, Lord, I've done all of these things in your name. We're doing all of these great, wonderful works. And Jesus said, but that's not the way I asked you to do them. And what does he say to these individuals? I don't even know who you are. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I don't even know you. So the problem is a lot of people will come to Jesus with this great zeal, this desire, and this energy to follow Jesus, right? And then sometimes it wanes. Do we do that? Sure we do, right? Maybe you remember the day you were baptized and how energetic you were and you were ready to get to work and you were on fire, right? Then the newness begins to wear off. It's kind of like when you get that new car. How often do you wash it? And you want that new car smell to stay in there, right? Boy, we like that new car smell. And we take care of that car. Then the miles begin to add up. Smell begins to wear off. We don't wash it as much as we used to. We don't take care of it as much as we used to because it's lost its gleam, so to speak. And sometimes Christianity does the same thing. Perhaps the new smell has worn off. The newness begins to wear off. And we don't have the zeal that we once had. And we see the rich young ruler here. He had every idea to do what God required of him until it was too much concerning those requirements. He was excited. It said that he came running to Christ, arms basically open, wanting to follow exactly what Jesus told him to do. But he was asked to do something that he was not willing to do. Verse 22 says that he went away sorrowful. Have you ever gone away sorrowful when something was asked of you as a Christian? Maybe the elders asked you to do something that you didn't want to do. Maybe your parents asked you to do something that you didn't want to do in relation to your Christianity. But have you ever gone away sorrowful at what was expected of you, knowing what you might have to give up? Or maybe what you were going to gain in relation to that? Or perhaps what you didn't want to do. Maybe sometimes when we're asked to give sacrificially of our means, even if it means giving more than we have. Maybe if it means not only giving of our means, but also giving of our time in relation to serving the church, when it's going to require more of me than perhaps I can even give. Or maybe it's giving up something that we don't want to give up to. Are we ready to give sacrificially? Notice that he also came with this request. He was asking Jesus, right? He came with this request, but he went away with a response. Notice what he asked in verse 20. What lack I yet? Would you be willing to ask God face to face what you're lacking? And would you be willing to receive the answer? Can you imagine being able to walk up to Jesus Christ Himself and say, what is it that I'm lacking as a Christian? What in my life am I lacking? And would I be willing to receive the answer I'm going to get? And would I take the answer to heart? That's called perhaps constructive criticism in this particular case. Jesus said, okay, have you done all of these things? Yes, Lord, I've kept all of those commandments since my youth. He's going all the way back to the Old Testament commandments that were given. He said, all right, so I'm going to ask you to give even more of yourself, and I want you to sell every single possession you have and give it to those that are less fortunate of you. He said, that's what you're lacking. You're selfish. You're not willing to put others first. It's all about you at this moment. So the thing that you're lacking is service to other people. So if you're willing to do that, in Mark chapter 10, he said, sell everything that you have and pick up your cross concerning your sacrificial service and put it on and follow me. Not going to do it. Not willing to do it. I don't want to do it. The problem is that when we think about what this man wanted to know, he really didn't want to know. Because he asked a very hard question. And I don't think he was really prepared to receive the answer that Jesus gave. Maybe he thought by looking good and following the commandments since his youth that he was going to be able to keep everything else. But Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew his heart, and Jesus knew what he had. And Jesus knew that is exactly what was keeping him from following Jesus to begin with. So sometimes as we examine ourselves, as the Bible tells us, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, as we look inwardly at ourselves to examine the things that we have to give up to continue to follow him, sometimes that's not always what we want to do. But can you imagine, when you think about this, the request that was given, can you imagine how he viewed his money and his possessions every time he spent them after he left Jesus? Do you think he thought about every dime and every dollar he handed over, every time he spent that money to buy something that he wanted, that he thought about what Jesus required of him? Probably every single penny he spent, he thought about. Because that, at that moment, was more important to him than anything else. And we can be the same way sometimes. I can imagine the pain he experienced each time he spent a dime. But he came with many possessions, but I think he left in poverty. Why do you think that's the case? I mean, he had a lot of stuff, right? Said he was rich, had many great possessions. Certainly, I think we can relate to this in our country today. There's a lot of things that are said in the Bible in relation to money and the love of money. Money's not evil, it's the love of it and what we do with it that can be evil. But he came with all of these great possessions, but he left completely poor. Because what he needed the most was Christ, and he left without it. And so many people do that today in their lives. They leave without Jesus. People leave this building all the time without Jesus. They think they have it, but they don't, because other things are on their mind at that moment perhaps. And there's numerous warnings of this regarding it. Luke chapter 12 and 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 give these warnings about this idea of what money is. But sometimes it's not just money or possessions perhaps. Sometimes also we're not willing to give up our time. And with that we rob Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6 verses 19 through 21, certainly that's true of this young man. But in verse 22 it says that he went away sorrowful. And I've always wondered, even as I was going back and reading this account, what he perhaps was thinking at that moment. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. You're standing face to face with Jesus Christ Himself, and He tells you everything you need to do to inherit eternal life and follow Him. And you look Him straight in His eye and say, no, No. I don't want it. How many people do that every day to Jesus and the cross of Calvary? I don't want it. I know what's required of me, but I don't want it. That which he wanted kept him from that which he needed. And you see, that's only something that we know that's keeping us from Christ. He came rich, but he went away a pauper. So you have to ask yourself, is there anything in your life that you wouldn't give up for the Lord? Anything. Maybe your career, your time, your money, whatever it might be. Is there anything that you're not willing to give up for Jesus today? Because again, Paul said we've got to look in the mirror and examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. In understanding the faith, the gospel is what Paul is talking about here. Are we in the faith and are we willing to examine ourselves to know what I need to give up and what I need to gain to continue to follow him? And only you can answer that question. People can tell you what they think you might need, but only you know what you truly need in relation to how you're going to follow Jesus and what your relationship is with him. And maybe your relationship is strained because of some possession or something in your life that's keeping you back. And if that's the case, that's something that Jesus is willing to tell you that he'll take care of tonight. But here's the thing. In just a few moments, when the invitation is offered, the same thing Jesus is saying to this young man, he's going to offer to us tonight. As he offers that sweet, tender invitation, he says, there are going to be requirements that are made of you and that are made of myself that we've got to be willing to do to receive his sweet gift of salvation and freedom from our sins. If we want that forgiveness, Jesus said you've got to give up your past and you've got to repent of your sins. If there's anything that you're holding on to that's keeping you from serving him, Jesus said those things have to be given up to follow him. So you see, every time the invitation is extended, every time we come together and the invitation is extended, we have to ask ourselves, is there something that's keeping me back like the rich young ruler? Am I going to leave tonight completely in despair and distraught and sorrowful because I wasn't willing to leave it here? So only you can answer the question tonight. So Jesus said, if you're willing to follow me tonight, sell anything that you have that's keeping you from your service. Sell anything that's keeping you from following him. And if there's anything holding you back, then you have to make the choice at this moment, at this time, at this place, that you're ready to pick up your cross and follow him. Jesus said, if you really want to follow me, there's a lot that's required of you, but are you willing to count the cost and give up all those things that are keeping you from following him tonight? So, the lesson is yours. Do you need to put on Christ tonight in baptism? Is there something that's holding you back from obeying the gospel? Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a spouse. Whatever the case is. Maybe it's the world. And then when we stand in a few moments, maybe you're going to grab the back of that pew and you're going to white knuckle it because you don't want to let it go because maybe you're scared. And that's understandable. Because with that, perhaps, that fear of knowing that maybe somebody's going to say something to you about, oh, you're cowering down to what they want you to do, or maybe that's not what you think you should be doing in relation to following Christ, or maybe you just love the world too much. But again, you've got to be willing to give those things up. So as we sing the invitation song in a few minutes, you have to ask yourself, what's more important to you, your possessions or Jesus? If you're ready to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the Son of God, and having your sins washed away, Acts 2:38, then the invitation is given to you tonight. And if you're here tonight as one who's already following Christ, as one who's already obeyed the gospel, but there's something that's keeping you back from continuing of you carrying your cross, then tonight we want to help you with that as together we stand and as we sing.